Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live and Internet Voices Radio. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm chatting with J.D. Tynan about her new book, Jill 9. But before we dive into her book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. She was born and grew up in Oregon, where she's made her home for most of her life, except for a short stint in which she bounced around from home to home on the other coast as a nanny in southern Connecticut. These days, J.D. spends the majority of her time with her children, and between her duties as a wife and mother, she makes the time to write novels, work full-time, clean her home, mow the lawn, and she even holds the position of president of the PTA. Wow, supermom here. Jill 9 is her first published mystery. Her second novel comes out in May of 2007 and is an action mystery entitled Charlie Ford Meets Secret Agent Man. I love that. J.D., welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. You know, I also wanted to mention that you're a member of Romance Writers of America, the Rose City Chapter, Mystery Writers of America, Willamette Writers, and Sisters in Crime, and that you also have recently signed a two-book contract with a Better Be Right publisher in New Jersey.
That's correct.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, typically you write romantic comedy, don't you?
Yes, typically I do. This was sort of out of my comfort zone, but I wanted to give it a try. So it was my first one, and maybe I'll do it again someday.
Well, it sounds like the one coming out next year is going to be sort of in this venue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mystery, but it's more fun and action and comedy than anything else.
So. Okay. Well, so as we're getting underway here, tell the audience a little bit about the essence of your novel, Jill 9.
The essence. Well, it's so hard to describe because there's so many different diversions and, you know, I lead you off on all these other different tangents because I don't want you to figure it out.
Until the end.
Yeah, exactly. But basically it is about a local weather girl from Vancouver, Washington, where I live, and she is being stalked. Basically she is, you know, destined to be the ninth victim in a case of murders that start in Connecticut. So you've got the FBI agent in Connecticut kind of following these murders across the U.S. and ending up in Vancouver. But then there's this whole other twist, you know, finding out that he knew her once upon a time a long time ago.
The FBI agent did?
Yes.
Ah.
So you find this out, and then you find out that her current boyfriend, who just, you know, kind of came out of nowhere, these three had a past. About 13 years prior to the story.
Wow.
So that comes into play, and it, you know, it gives lots of twists and turns and fun stuff to figure out.
No kidding. And now basically, Jill 9 it involves a serial killer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do we want to share that, I mean, Jill had a long last name, and she shortened it to a name that is sort of the common thread for the serial killer's targets, right?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
There's no secret about that. She changes her name, you know, from Walakowski to Walker, just, you know, because she's a weather girl and she wants her name to be, you know,
memorable.
Yes.
And not that Walakowski wouldn't be, but that's a mouthful.
Exactly. So she just ends up shooting herself in the foot by, you know, taking up a name that is going to get her in lots of trouble.
Don't you know? However, it also brings some good things into her life as well, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, J.D., what inspired you to write a suspense thriller after you've been, you know, so comfortable writing romantic comedy?
That's a good question. I have always been a real a lover of thrillers. If I'm watching a movie and I cannot figure out who did it, you have got me hooked. I mean, I don't like gore or anything like that, but a good story, and I watch movies all the time, and I'm thinking, oh, I know who did it. You just planted that little seed. You just, you know, you just made a clue there. I can figure that out. So I thought, you know, I'm kind of, I wasn't bored by any means. I'm never bored when I'm writing, but I thought, you know, I want to try that. I want to see if I can write a book, a mystery, and see if I can actually lead someone who I don't know, someone else's imagination, into a different direction. And from what I've heard from my reviews and the people who've read it, I did a very good job.
Yes, yes. And I haven't, from the review that I read, it looks like you did too. I know the reviewer was quite captivated.
Yeah.
Well, J.D., what kind of research did you do in preparation for writing Jill 9?
I get asked that question all the time. And it kind of, you know, it makes me laugh because I guess I'm not, you know, that type of writer. I like to just write. And I did have to research, you know, where there was an FBI office in Connecticut. You know, was it in New Haven, Hartford? You know, I had to do that sort of thing. And I did have a police officer actually read it. And the only negative thing she said was, and it cracked me up, she said it was hokey.
Oh, really?
And I said, okay, oh, I need to know what it is. And she said, oh, but it's not that big of a deal. She said that when they find a dead body, they don't really draw a chalk outline around the body.
Really? You mean we see this on TV, okay, on every single show we see, the CSIs, the crime scenes, the Law and Orders, and all of that they don't really do that?
That's what she said. And I said, well, you know what, though? But people think they do, so I'm going to leave it in there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, that's sort of a funny on all of us, isn't it?
It is. So I thought that was neat.
Too funny.
But I didn't do any other research other than, you know, I just told the story. And, you know, to me, it's fiction. And in no way was I trying to be, you know, real with it. But the police officer said I did a pretty good job. So.
That's right. The license you are entitled to when writing fiction is just sort of unlimited, isn't it?
That's true. It's fiction.
It's only limited to your imagination. That's right.
That's right.
Well, J.D., now the theme of love, and you mentioned this a few minutes ago, does run through the story, and there is this love triangle predicament that Jill finds herself in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Well, the essence of the love triangle is that Jill is 32 years old. She's never really had a serious boyfriend. She's been waiting around for someone she saw on a beach years before. You know, just kind of that, you know, he's coming for me someday. I remember how we looked at each other across the beach, and, you know, he was the one for me. She's waiting around for that guy.
You mean this scene where they see each other and they come running towards each other with they're both wearing white and it's all flowing in the breeze as they run towards each other?
You know, she's got this idea in her head that this mystery boy is somehow going to come for her. But, I mean, really, that's not, you know, she's a busy career woman and all that. But, you know, in the back of her mind, she's always thought about
that. That's okay. And we're not criticizing, because there's a rare woman among us that wouldn't really admit to the truth about that.
Yes.
But that fantasy.
So, but, you know, she's got a good friend of hers who's very, you know, concerned and wants her to try relationships with real men. And and so, you know, when this tall, blonde stranger comes out of nowhere and just seems to be the perfect guy and says all the right things and does all the right things, she kind of, you know, thinks, hey, you know, maybe I should give this a try. So, you know, but then cute FBI agent shows up, and, you know, who can pass up a cute FBI agent? So,
really?
Yeah.
Honey, he's got to be cute.
He's got to be cute. I wrote him. He's got to be cute.
That's right. Now, would it be giving too much away for you? You mentioned that these three had they had been in each other's lives more than a decade earlier.
Yes. Yeah, I can mention that. The prologue of the book, the very first couple pages, tells the tale of Ian and Elias. Ian is the FBI agent. Elias is the blonde boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They were best friends in Connecticut, went to high school together, lived next door to each other for, you know, since they were born.
Really?
Yes. So they were best friends, and when they were 17 years old, Elias is very wealthy, you know, he was a very wealthy child, mm-hmm. silver spoon in his mouth and all that. His mother married a very rich man with a daughter. And they brought along a very beautiful nanny. Well, Jill was that nanny. So she lived in Elias's house for only about a week. And then his stepfather and the stepsister were mysteriously killed.
Ooh.
And so she left. So they only knew each other for a week.
Hmm.
So.
Wow.
That's all I can say.
There's another twist in the tale there.
There's so many twists.
Oh, yay. Talk about another hook. Perfect. Oh, I love that.
To figure out.
Now, that's got to be so different from writing a love comedy. You know, coming up with all these wonderful little twists and turns and hooks.
But, you know, the wonderful thing about this book is it's still light, it's still fun. You've got some quirky characters who, you know, the secondary characters are quirky and funny and, you know, witty. And it's not at all deep and dark and, you know, Stephen King-ish. It's very, you know, sure she's being stalked by a serial killer, but
mm-hmm.
it's still light and fun. And because I can't get, you know, spooky.
No. Well, good.
What I like about it.
A good mystery, a good thriller is terrific. And you mentioned earlier that it wasn't filled with gore. So, you know, a good mystery is just challenging is all it is. So that's great. That is wonderful. Well, now, J.D., your writing style has been characterized as organic as opposed to sort of organized in terms of an organized outline. Tell us a little bit more about how your writing style evolved.
That's a good question, too. I would, a lot of other writers that I know of, they have an idea in their head, but then they have to go and they have to write it down and they have to work it out and they have to, you know, make it make sense to the end. Whereas I start off with an idea in my head, like this book. I thought, ooh, I'm going to write a book about a nanny who lived with two guys, and then, oh, it just took off from there. I start with an idea, and I usually know how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute I start writing, everything that comes out, I don't even know it's going to happen. Whatever I'm writing, the dialogue, it just comes out of my imagination, and I don't even know what's going to happen next. And that is the fun part for me. I think if you were to tell me, please sit down and write a book starring these characters, and this is how it's going to end, okay, go. I could not do it. I'd get stuck.
It's got to come from within, huh?
It does. It's got to be my ideas. It's got to be free-flowing. That's why I can't sit down and just say, okay, I'm going to write today,
which is
frustrating, too.
I can appreciate. But, you know, you mentioned Stephen King a little bit earlier. He has been credited with having advised writers to, very simply, to just sit down and start writing, let it flow, do not edit yourself, do not edit the first 50 pages, just let it come out.
That's right. That's how I feel, and that's how I think. I don't see how anyone cannot do it that way, but that's just because I've never done it that way.
Well, and of course, you know, everyone has a unique talent and a unique ability, and part of that uniqueness is the individuality of their own style. So, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just a style thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Tell us a little bit about what you think makes a good book.
Oh, that's a good one. I am the world's pickiest reader. I used to not be. I used to read everything. I was really hooked on John Grisham and Tom Clancy books when I was
mm-hmm.
loved them. I mean, if I couldn't put down a book, then I just thought you were a god. You were, please keep writing more. Please keep writing more. You couldn't write them fast enough. Then I fell head over heels with Janet Ivanovich. Boy, she can just hook you because she makes you laugh. It's quick. It's fun. It's entertaining. So to me, a good book It just has to be a page-turner, no matter what you're reading. It's got to have fun. It's got to have great dialogue. To me, the characters need to be real. They need to be someone that you'd be friends with.
It's someone you can relate to.
Exactly.
And that you might even want to have a relationship with.
Exactly. You know, you don't want to hear about someone who's, you know, perfect. This is my big pet peeve, if you don't mind me saying.
No, please.
My biggest pet peeve is, you know, I've been trying to branch out and read more romance novels because, you know, in that chapter now, and I'm trying to branch out and read more.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest pet peeve, which I find over and over and over again, and I can't even finish these books, is a 5'2" perfect blonde and a 6'2" hunk. You know, and they sound like the exact same people in it.
And he develops a bad back.
Exactly. I'm like, he's 6'2", she's 5'2". Why does she have to be a waif? Why can't she be 5'10", you know?
Yeah, really, of course.
Give these women some thighs and, you know.
has blue eyes, maybe even two, right?
Exactly.
And blonde hair.
Blue eyes is a Barbie doll incarnate. Oh, it drives me crazy.
Oh, that is too funny. That's great.
And Jill actually is probably the most perfect woman I have written about as far as looks and her physicalness, only because she's a weather girl and she's, you know, got to be thin and beautiful. She's
mm-hmm.
on TV.
It's thin and beautiful, but she can also be tall and doesn't have to be blonde.
Exactly, yes. She's got dark hair. So I that's just one of my...
I love it. Oh, that's hilarious. But, you know, you're so right. I know the greatest gift I give myself is a book that I can't put down until I finish it. Because it takes me away.
Yeah, it takes you away. And then... But then what happens is I get sad when it's over, and I'm like, I want more. So I try to find authors who, you know, who I like, and then I...
Then you keep buying their books.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I'm so with you on that. I'm so with you on that. Well, J.D., who are you targeting with this great suspense thriller of yours?
Targeting, I would say, you know, the me's of the world, the 30-something-year-old moms who, you know, want to have great entertainment because Lord knows there's nothing good on TV anymore. I mean, it's just crap after crap, if I can say that on the radio.
We just did.
I just think that, you know, between everything else in life, you need a good book to take you away, to take you to another world, make you stop thinking about things for a while. So, you know, I target myself. I target 30-year-old moms and dads and
maybe,
you know,
even 40, 50, 60 and older who like to get away once in a while as well, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely no age, you know, age limit to my books. I mean, I'd say you have to be over 18 to read them, but...
it'll help in terms of their understanding, right?
That's right. So.
Well, J.D., is there, you know, I mean, your book is written, is your book, I should ask, is your book written more for entertainment, or is there any kind of a message in here other than the fact that you don't want your heroines to always have to be 5'2", thin, blondes with blue eyes?
No, I would have to say there's no moral, I'm not trying to be the world's greatest writer.
Hidden message here.
No hidden messages. It is just pure entertainment. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to just, you know, open the book and get away and not be able to put it down because you're just having too much fun, and that's what I want to be. I'm not, in no way am I saying I'm a great writer. I may not even be a good writer, but I think I can tell a darn good story, and that's important.
It sounds like. That's great. Well, J.D., tell the audience where they can go to find the book. It sounds like a delightful and entertaining book. Where can they go to buy it?
It's great. I would say probably your easiest bet would be Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's on sale on Amazon. You can also get it at Borders stores, limited Borders stores. I know one in Vancouver, Washington, and there's one in Beaverton. But your best bet would be Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com.
Gotcha. Okay.
Online. So.
Right. Well, J.D., we are just about out of time here. Now, you have a website.
I do.
Would you please tell the audience your website?
It is www.jdtynan.com. So.
And Tynan is T-Y-N-A-N.
That's correct.
JDTYNAN.com. And folks can go there and check out other books that you've written and check out what you're doing and what's coming.
Yes. You can go in and you can read an excerpt of Charlie Ford Meets Secret Agent Man, which will be out in May.
Great.
And just yesterday I found out I was a finalist in a Alaska romance chapter contest with one of my other manuscripts that hasn't been picked up yet, but we're crossing our fingers.
Well, great.
So, and you can learn more about, you know, everything else that I'm doing and what's coming out and read the reviews on Jill 9 and, you know.
Well, it sounds like you're having a great time, and it sounds like you've got a lot going on in your life, but, you know, it sounds like you have some good balance here. You know, I understand that you're a full-time worker and that you're also juggling wife and motherhood, and you're also taking time to be creative and invest yourself in novels like these.
yeah, it's a nice balance, and right now I'm having the best time of my life, so
great.
I feel very blessed.
Well, it sounds like it. It really sounds like it, JD. Well, and I want to encourage everyone out there to go to InsideScoopLive.com and ReaderViews.com and look over the reviews about this delightful book, Jill Nine, a challenging suspense thriller. Also, just know that this internet radio segment will be posted on JD's author's page on Inside Scoop Live. ReaderViews and JD's websites will also have a link to this review. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own getaway and as a gift. JD, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I had a great time, and I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And to you, and to a prosperous 2007.
Thank you.
And audience, thank you for tuning into this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.